CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Taxes, cutting spending, revenue, all these words are important when it comes to the burden that the U.S. Congress has to reduce in some fashion the weight of the spending before we blow up Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, go on and on and on. Well, guaranteed to blow up unless. I welcome Veronique Durigy of the Mercatus Center, writing a Creator Syndicate, quoting a congressman, Jody Arrington of Texas. The last time there was a fix to Social Security that addressed the solvency for 75 years, it was Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, and it was bipartisan. It had revenue measures, and it had program reforms. That's just the reality. Veronique, a very good evening to you. If I understand correctly, in order to do reform, you must have taxes on the table. What does that mean? What kind of taxes? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, politically, if you want to reach a deal across the aisle, and if you're a Republican and you go in and just say, it can only be spending cuts, it's not going to fly. So I understand why the chairman of the Budget Committee is saying that that it's going to have to be a compromise, and tax revenue is going to be on the table. That's what compromises are about. But the problem, the difficulty is how you structure the deal, because very often what we know is that these compromises, if the goal is to reduce the debt to GDP, however you measure it, it actually it backfires. That's the real problem we face.
You use an example from the Ronald Reagan time in Washington. There was reform. They cut spending, but they wound up acknowledging that they spent more than they cut. I think it was for every dollar of cutting spending, they spent $1.14. How did that happen? Why did that happen?
So one of the reasons why we should be very wary, and the chairman needs to be careful about how he structures the deal, is because historically, one of the things we've known, some people like Richard Vedder at the University of Ohio has done research looking at what really, when they raise taxes to reduce the debt, whether how much of that revenue raise goes to pay the debt. And in recent years, basically a very small portion actually goes to reducing the debt. And instead the revenue that is raised from the tax increase goes to paying for more spending. And that is also the same thing that happens very often in our experience when president in the spirit of a compromise go and say, let's do a balanced approach. For instance, for every dollar we raise in taxes, we'll cut in spending. What the experience shows us is that often you end up with a tax increase, but no spending cuts. And it's worse, again, if the Vedder finding is happens, you sometimes end up with a raise in spending. So like the President Reagan fell for it. And in 82, he made a deal with Congress where it was supposed to raise a dollar in revenue for $1 of spending cuts. And instead, he got a dollar of revenue. It was actually a dollar of revenue for $3 of spending cut. And what he ended up having was a dollar raised for $1.14 of new spending. So really not at all what he wanted what he was promised.
Does that mean that this compromise doesn't work, that it can't work because Congress is addicted to spending? So you can't overcome human nature with mathematics.
Well, I think you have to be very careful about what is it you put on the table when you talk about revenue, because there's also the research, the most well-known research on this issue shows that the best fiscal adjustment packages that you could put on that you could do to reduce the debt to GDP ratio is mostly based on spending. Doesn't mean there can't be any revenue, but the revenue, I think the wiser thing in terms of revenue to put on the table, first, it's not to do one for one, or is to actually try to do tax reforms, things that close loopholes. And not only will that raise revenue, but it also will make the tax code fairer, more fair, and also it will make it more efficient. So there are things that can be done to put revenue on the table. The other thing I think from history is that, and I don't know how the chairman does this, is to make sure that what has been promised happens. If he says he's putting a dollar in revenue, hopefully in the form of closing loopholes, for $3 of spending cuts, he needs to make sure that there's a process that guarantee that it happens. Because if it's just, you know, just like part of the deal, and then no one actually makes sure that it happens, it's not gonna achieve the goal of putting us on a more fiscally sustainable path, which is the goal for this commission.
$2 trillion. That's the annual deficit of $2 trillion, or we're headed in that direction. That'll be year after year after year.
Yeah.
So, and they're aware of this in Congress. This isn't news to them.
No, they actually had the director of the CBO just testify before the House Budget Committee. So yes, they're very much aware of it.
Does anybody have a plan? One suggestion. When I talked to your colleague, John Cochran, about this, I kept saying, they've got to cut spending. They've got to cut spending. And he looked at me as if I'm an amateur, not understanding. He said, John, you call it reform spending. You don't call it cut spending. Is that going to work if we call it reform spending?
I mean, I'm all in favor of reforming the driver of our future debt, as opposed to cutting the driver of our future debt. And if John Cochran, who is a remarkable economist, thinks it's a better way to talk about it, I'd be more than happy to use his language. But the reality, right, is that reforming the driver of our future debt, that means reforming Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And part of it's going to have to be probably tax increases, but also benefit cuts. I think it's hard to, even if you increase the retirement age, that is a form of benefit reduction, but it's a reform too. So I'll go with John's suggestion and only talk about reform.
Are there enough billionaires to get this done?
No, not enough billionaires. Not enough billionaires at all. So no.
Are there enough millionaire billionaires? I mean, tax the rich.
No, we can't. We can't tax. I mean, you could confiscate all the money of rich people.
Yeah.
First, you're guaranteed that the next year it's a one time thing, because the next year they won't be making any revenue. But you won't have enough to address. I mean, it's worth remembering that in the next 30 years for Medicare and Social Security alone, we're going to have to borrow an extra $116 trillion. That is four times the amount of debt of borrowing that the federal government has done in the entire history of the United States for two programs.
Veronique DeRigi of the Mercatus Center. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.